So while we were at the Dominican Republic hanging out with the kids, I'm always seeing Kennedy on her phone. And, you know, we're working through all those electronic device issues. But one of the games that she plays is this thing called Would You Rather? And I'm like, girl, what are you doing? I see you clicking and swiping and going and all this stuff. And so I said, Kennedy, show me what this game is about. And she showed it to me as basically, how many of you have heard of Would You Rather? Okay, so a couple of people. So you take just some very strange things sometimes, and you can compare them to one another of what would you rather do? So we're going to play that game here this morning into the afternoon. Amen? So let's go ahead and start. So our first one is, would you rather join the Avengers or Justice League? No Justice League people in here? Come on. Batman? Wonder Woman? All right. Avengers it is. Move on. Would you rather be in a spa, beautiful pool, massage, relaxing, or get a root canal? No takers on the root canal. Oh, we got one guy who wants a root canal. Amen, Brian. All right. Let's see the next one. Wow, this is where we stayed in the Dominican Republic. Psych, I'm just kidding. We didn't stay there. But would you rather that or a colonoscopy? So I know we got some. Ray said, why is he smiling? Hey, man, our brother got to pay the bills, bro. So us people that are young here, we can't really appreciate the colonoscopy. But when you get 50, you will appreciate it. Amen. All right, let's go to the next one. So this is our thigh bone, your femur bone, a broken bone. Now, I fixed a lot of these, and they hurt. Or would you rather divorce? Oh, now we start to have a little think of decision and thinking now, huh? So you would rather have your leg broken in two than to be in divorce. Okay, okay. Okay, amen. Let's go to the next one. You can go to the next. Or would you rather be stranded in the middle of the ocean? Only thing you have is a raft for 37 days after your plane crashed. No food. You can fish. Maybe you'll catch a shark. I don't know. But that's it. So that's just what we're going to talk about today. Being stranded. Going through pain and suffering. So go ahead and turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Today we're going to talk about the movie Unbroken. How many of us have heard of Unbroken? Have seen it? So we got some people. Okay. So Unbroken is a movie about a World War II veteran that goes through a tremendous amount of pain and suffering to help other people most of the time. And eventually he realizes that he has to turn his life over to God. And this movie has many different twists and turns and many different sections that we can focus on, and we'll take one or two to do that. So let's go ahead and start with the movie trailer to give us a summation of the movie.
However dark the night, however dim our hopes.
Inbound 4 o'clock low.
The light will always follow darkness.
Keep going the way you're going, you end up as a bum on the street. You train. You fight harder than those other guys, and you win. You can take it, you can make it. You can do this, Lou. You just gotta believe you can. Pop does. Ma does. I do.
Louis, a moment of pain. It's worth a lifetime of glory.
We're gonna die out here.
We're not dying!
I hear good news and bad news.
Who is the Olympic athlete?
Don't look at me.
Hello, mother, father.
I
This is your Louis talking. I am now interned in a Tokyo prisoner of war camp.
I can't say this. What it says about America, it's not true.
This man must be taught respect. Each prisoner will teach him this lesson.
To think that I could do anything, that I was better than I am.
Who says you're not?
If you get me through this, I swear I'll dedicate my whole life to you.
If I can take it, I can make it.
Stay down.
If he drops it, shoot him.
So this is the story of Louis Zampanini, and he was a pretty interesting guy. Grew up in an Italian family, kind of a rebel, as the preview talked about there, always getting in trouble, fighting. But one of the characteristics that he displayed even as a young man, a young boy, was perseverance. He would get surrounded by other guys. They would beat him up, but he would not quit. He would continue to fight on and on. And his brother, his older brother, was very helpful in trying to get Louis to understand how to corral all of that energy, all of that fight, and got him to transition to running track. And it's funny enough how Louis's event was the long distance run. I believe it was the 5,000 meter. And this was a time when he was running in the same Olympics as Jesse Owens. And so Louis had the ability as a young man to know about pain and suffering. And, Angel, I don't know who else runs my PA, Lauren, they run these marathons. I'm like, y'all got problems, man. I mean, just the pain and suffering one goes through in their body to run a marathon. But Louis had the ability to persevere. And it's funny how his pain started. So he gets in the military, and he's doing the military thing, and he goes out on a mission, a true battle, and it's a all-out dogfight, and people are shooting, and they get home safe from that. But when they go out for a rescue mission is when they go out in an old rickety plane, because the other one's all shot up, and on the rescue mission is when they crash in the ocean to try to go help some of their friends. And so it's so amazing as we look at Paul. We're going to look at Paul today. Paul was always on a rescue mission. He was always going around preaching the gospel, trying to help other people understand Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians, he speaks of some of these circumstances. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is merciful, is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same thing we suffer. So Paul is writing this letter, 2 Corinthians, as kind of a follow-up to 1 Corinthians. And he's going to get into some things that he was excited about later on in the letter. But right here, Paul just really, I'm just going to be honest with y'all, Paul is tripping. And I'm going to read one more scripture for y'all to show another biblical hero who is tripping. Because this is tough. In 1 Peter, you don't have to turn here, I'll read it for you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Peter says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal you are going through, as if something strange was happening to you. Instead, be very glad." Are you kidding me? "Be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world." Now, I don't know about y'all, in my upbringing, when you talk about pain and suffering, you don't get excited. That's not associated with joy. So I'm just going to be real. Paul and Peter, they were kind of tripping, man. When I first read this, when I became a disciple, I said, no. There's got to be a different way. I signed up for Jesus so that I could be full of joy. I don't want to go through pain and suffering. And this is a side note. Brothers and sisters, we got to teach people about perseverance when we're studying the Bible with them. We got to teach them about true pain and suffering, what it really means to follow Jesus. We can't set people up for this kind of dream sort of life when you follow Jesus. Especially when you think about what it requires to follow Jesus, it requires submission. It requires, I am going to submit to Jesus. And in this postmodern world of everybody thinks their truth is truth, we've got to teach, what does it mean to suffer with Jesus? Some of us are trying to figure out that relationship right now. Some of us have begun to seek God out, but maybe yet you haven't submitted. I encourage you to have the heart of submission when you decide to follow Jesus. It's not about traditions. It's not about convenience. It's not about feelings. It's about a heart to submit. So look at what Paul was saying. In the first five verses, Paul mentioned suffering 17 times. This brother had a point he wanted to get across. The other part of that is God will help us through it. It says that he will comfort us. Now, what does the author mean by comfort? It doesn't mean it's going to make you feel all good inside, give you the warm and fuzzies. No, it means God is going to deliver you from those circumstances in the way that he sees best. When you follow Jesus, it is marked by suffering. And it starts with the resurrection. And that's why I am so convicted about we must understand Jesus' resurrection. Because it's how we participate in his suffering. And then when we suffer, the scripture tells us we are with Christ. I know we all want to be with Christ, amen? So today I want us to just change our mindset in how we view our suffering. The question that I have for you, though, do you trust in God that he can deliver you from your pain and suffering? See, because that's the first mode of submission. To trust in God that when you are getting kicked down, he can pull you through. And I know it's hard, brothers and sisters. I know it is challenging. But we got to fight. That's why we have one another. We just have to trust. So I've been doing a little bit of wine research. I'm trying to move from being a wine native person, naive person, to a wine connoisseur. That'll take a little bit of time. But in some of my readings and going to different wine tasting events, one of the winemakers was talking about how they make wine. And there's two different schools of thought. One school of thought is to use the artificial method. And that basically means that we're going to use pesticides, insecticides, we're going to use irrigation systems, we're going to use all these different man-made components, and we're going to put it on the vine and make the vine do what we want it to do to produce the type of grape that we want. The other school of thought is the natural way, is to just let the vine do what it wants to do, to let nature take control, let the soil give the vine nutrients, let the water come down into the soil to migrate over to the vine, to even let the insects chew up the vine a little bit to refine it, to make it grow a little bit better. And it's no different in our relationship with God. See, we want to try to control everything. When we're going through pain and suffering, we want to put our stamp in. We want to try to change things, and we want to put our foot here and our hand there. You can't do that. You got to use the natural way. God uses that pain and suffering to redefine who you are. You need to go through that to be more like Jesus. So pain and suffering is necessary. God did not create this world without pain and suffering. Otherwise, he would take away our free will. He would take away our nervous system. Think about if you didn't have any nerves in your footing, you walked around and you stepped on a nail. What happens if you don't feel that? You get infection, you get it cut off. So pain and suffering is necessary even in our relationship with God. Look at verse 6. This is the scripture. This is the verse. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, why? It is for your comfort and salvation. Please, I want to encourage y'all to change your thinking about what you are going through. This is the heart level that we have to get to if we're going to follow Jesus. See, the Corinthians, if you remember, we did Church in the City, the study on the church in Corinth. They were very prominent. They had lots of money. It was a shipping mecca, a transportation hub. These people really didn't have to suffer a whole lot. They had everything they really needed. So when Paul brought Jesus into their life, they were like, well, shoot, we just going to sit here until Jesus come back. We ain't got to go through nothing. And Paul is telling them, no, you got to get in this fight. It is going to be painful. And that is why he's writing this to them. Paul wanted them to truly understand what it meant to suffer for Jesus. And so there's a portion in the movie that we're going to play a clip right now that really hones in on this concept. And so Louis is in a concentration camp, in a prisoner of war camp with the Japanese. So think about it. You've been in the ocean on a raft, starting with two of your comrades for 37 days. One of them doesn't make it. He succumbs to the dehydration and lack of food. And then you get rescued by the enemy, only to be brought into their prisoner of war camp. And what is going on here is they realized that Louis was the special one. He was the Olympic athlete. He was a famous guy. And so they wanted to use him as an example for propaganda. So they tried to get him to go in the Japanese media market and talk negative about the United States. And Louis says, I can't do that. I'm not going to compromise on my convictions. So they say, okay, we got a plan for you, boss. So they take him back, and this was his punishment. Now, the guy that they brought out, he didn't know that guy. That wasn't his homeboy. That was just another fellow soldier. And we saw the heart that Louis had. So would you rather be broken or unbroken? Would you rather get punched in the face with life issues? Or would you rather sit comfortable and watch people lose the battle of life, which is eternal salvation? And that's the major point of today's message, is one of our purposes in suffering is so that we can serve other people for their comfort and their salvation. That's it. We have to change our mindset. I know getting punched in the face with life, it ain't easy. Angel talked about the waves of life. I was in that ocean in Dominican Republic. Them waves don't play. Them things will knock you on your backside. So the life is challenging. We've got death that we have to deal with. And I know, church, we've experienced that. We've got relationships that are broken. Whether it's boyfriend or girlfriend, the marriage is not doing well. You just can't get along with your spouse. We were talking about that today in D group, just being angry at the person we most angry at, is our spouse, is our wives. That can be challenging. Educational goals, not being able to achieve different marks that you want in your educational climb. Professional goals, you didn't get that promotion that you want. You were banking on it. You thought you should have gotten it. I can definitely say amen to that. That professional is real. Changes in the seasons of life. Man, whether you're going from single to married, married to children, then you get older, and then you get to the point where not only are you trying to take care of your young adult children, you're taking care of your older parents. That can be stressful and painful. As we know, the aging process marches on. But we've got to work through these circumstances. We've got to have God as our foundation. See, because God will use those things for character development. Now, that's a whole nother side part of pain and suffering that we can't get into today. But God will use those things to mold us to be more like Jesus. So as many of you know, Tasha and I, we transitioned to Atlanta about 2 years ago now. And it was a professional transition, the reason why we had to come. And that thing was hard. It was extremely tough for me, tough on my family as well. We had just purchased a home, only been in it for 11 months. We had to leave relationships that we had developed for 5 years in the church. We were helping with the singles and the young marriage group that we were leading. I can clearly remember just dropping on my knees one day and saying, God, when is it going to be over? When is it going to end, Father? I would prostrate myself. I remember crying in the carpet. I remember talking to Angel Maldonado, crying to him. It hurt. But during that time, you know what me and my wife did? We had somebody over to our house. Started studying the Bible with her hairdresser. Started studying the Bible with one of the guys that I met in the barbershop. Even for my own birthday, my wife said, hey, let's have some people. I said, this is my birthday. I don't want nobody over. I ain't feeling like it. We got to leave. What are you talking about? Had somebody over, her hairdresser. That's when that study started. And then I begin to think about, I'm not even thinking about Atlanta. I got Mike and Angel on my mind just because I need somebody to talk to down there. I don't even know what's going on down here. Have no idea that Ricardo Dunmoody, that what I'm going through is going to help him. And remember the deep talk Ricardo and I had, he knows what I'm talking about. And then Jonathan Robertson comes into our life, and we study the Bible with him, and he becomes a Christian. But through my pain and suffering, I couldn't see any of that. I only saw my hurt. I only saw my feelings. But as I began to see how God was working, I had some things that I needed to change. So that's another side note. When you do get through your pain and suffering, don't be so prideful to think that ain't something that you can do better. And so it was hard. You know, we're very excited about the vision of the church to plant churches that mobilize the next generation. We got to be on fire for that. We've talked about having conviction for that vision. Otherwise, it's just a catchy vision that Angel came up with. And we've talked about having churches in the north and the south and the east and the west and in the city and all over. A lot of people that's going to know about Jesus, amen? Now, I'm going to tell y'all, we're going to struggle along the way. It's going to be hard. People are going to have to be sent out. Relationships, you know, not going to worship with that person no more. And you know when you send people, you also send their money. Now, y'all, that money real, the budget is real. People may be upset because what we start may not be associated with a particular name or a particular group. People may feel a little weird about that. May not like what we're doing. Maybe the people that's actually on the mission team. Angel may say, hey, go plant this church. We got 25 people. And 10 of those people say, man, that ain't for me no more. I'm out. What are you going to do? What would you rather be? broken and just give up, throw in your Bible, I'm done, sit in the middle of the, and just be a consumer? Or are you going to be unbroken and continue to fight? Continue to fight for your personal relationship with God and invest in other people. That's the heart of planting churches that mobilize the next generation. We will not be broken. We're going to be unbroken. Amen? Amen. So would you rather be broken? Now, you got to be broken to get to Jesus. So you can't come in with the, you know, the prideful mindset. So it's funny how this plays on a little words a little bit. But ultimately, we want to be unbroken. And Paul speaks of a time where he was very close to feeling like he was going to be broken. Let's look down in verse 8. Paul says, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would not live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." So Paul could have been talking about several different death sentences. We know the brother suffered a lot. It could have been his Ephesians imprisonment when he was locked in chains. Could have been the time when him and Silas were locked up and they were preaching the gospel. But many of the biblical scholars think that this goes back to Acts chapter 19, where there was a riot that was taking place in Ephesus. And what had happened was there was a guy named Demetrius who was a craftsman, so to speak. He made coins that had the god Artemis, which was the idol that the Ephesians worshipped at that time. And so they were making hands over fist money. But when Paul came in and started talking about, no, don't worship that guy. Worship the living God, the only God. Well, you know what happened when you mess with somebody's money. That's going to cause some problems. And that's exactly what happened. So Demetrius said, "Oh, no, you're messing with my change, man. You're messing with my cash flow. We're going to stop this." So Demetrius get all the boys. It's almost like a contractor. You know, if you shut down a contractor, you shut down many other people. You shut down the paint man. You shut down the carpenter. You shut down the roofer. You shut down the framer. You shut down the carpet guy. You shut down the guy that put in the refrigerator. A lot of people going to have their pockets hurt. So Demetrius got all those guys together and says, "We ain't having it. Artemis, Artemis, Artemis." And Paul is like, "Man, shoot. I don't know, man. I need to go in here and talk to these people." But even his crew said, no, Paul, don't go in there. You likely not to make it out. They are mad with you. And so we got to understand when we are overwhelmed, we got to have a different train of thinking. Paul says he was overwhelmed, crushed to the point where he didn't think he was going to live. What are we overwhelmed by? What is overwhelming us today? Maybe it was something that overwhelmed you before in your past, and you're still carrying that baggage along. Maybe it's something recently that happened in your life, like me, for example. Maybe it's something right now that you're overwhelmed and crushed, and maybe you can't get behind planting churches that mobilize the next generation. Because you're stuck on your pain and your suffering. We have to be able to work through these painful things to help other people. Amen? But I love Paul. Paul is sharing what he's going through, but he's sharing how God is working through it as well. God came through. It says Paul was comforted, his crew was comforted, so that they could comfort other people. Are we comforting other people right now? Because we're talking about planting churches. If we're not loving and comforting and helping people through their life stuff, what's the point? Paul learned through this challenge that he had to rely on himself mostly and God. No, that's not what it says. See, I love the scriptures. Paul learned that he had to rely only on God. Now, we can play this game if we want to. We know we like to rely on our own abilities. We just like to think we can do it all. We're going to make it happen. And God kind of gets swept in just because that's the Christian thing to do. We have to truly rely on God. And I'll be honest, man, you know, we're starting this church plant, and I'm all excited, and Angel is empowering me. I'm like, oh, man, I got lots of abilities. I got lots of talents. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm overwhelmed already. I can't get it done. I got to go pray to God. I got to go sit in my little war room closet that my wife just made up, and we got to go pray together. Amen to that, sister, boy. That's just a spiritual, I'm telling y'all. So, brothers and sisters, we have to be taught, and we got to teach about the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of the future, that he will work through your stuff. He will work through your pain. We have got to have that confidence in him so that when we are working with other people, we can help them through their crisis. They can say, wow, that is what the, that's the, when I read that, I see you. That's how a Christian should respond to losing a job. That's how a Christian should respond to death of a loved one. That's how a Christian should respond when their marriage is not going well. That is our role as disciples of Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? For us to be able to work through this, number one, we got to understand grieving. It's okay to grieve. I had to learn that. I cried. I literally cried like a baby. Cried to my wife. Cried on other men's shoulders. But it first started crying out to God and spending time with him and letting him know I'm hurting. I need help, God. So grieving's okay. If you're the tough guy or maybe the tough sister that's walking around and like, man, I can deal with anything. What's happening, bro? Huh? You may want to check that because there's something that's going to punch you in your face that'll make you rethink that attitude. We got to understand that it will take time to work through our pain and suffering. This is not a quick fix sort of thing. It's 2 years later, and I'm still hurting. And I will tell you that if you are really experiencing a lot of emotion where you're getting physically defeated, you're not sleeping right, you don't want to exercise, you don't want to hang out, those are a little bit more symptoms than you just sitting and praying and talking to one of us. You may want to get some professional counseling. And so I'm actually been talking to Angel and Mike about doing that for myself because it's lingering on a little long. But that's okay. That's why God invented all of that stuff. And we got to share. Man, you mess around and you keep this stuff locked in if you want to. Boy, your day will be tough, man. So you got to share this stuff. These are very tragic events we're talking about. We're not talking about a stub of a toe. We're talking about there's a scar that is left on your heart, and it will probably be with you while you journey with Jesus. There's probably going to be a thorn or two in your side that you're going to have to continue to work through. So if that's the case, we got to continue to share it. Continue to share it. I'm constantly sharing that with the men that are in my life, constantly updating my wife on kind of where I am with it. Don't be afraid to share the deep, dark, nasty pain and suffering. And as brothers and sisters, we walk around, let's not give cheap answers for people that are going through stuff. Let's not say, oh, just pray about it. You'll be okay. No, I'm not okay. I'm struggling. So let's not cheap do that. Let's give compassion. Let's love people. Let's pray with people. Let's direct them back to the scriptures. And if they need professional counseling, then let's talk to them about that. Amen. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll close out. Hebrews chapter 5. So Louis is being singled out here because he's a special guy. And because of his Olympic athlete status, they're going to give him some special torture. And so his special torture was to sit out in this coal yard and just hold this beam on up. And he just had to sit there and just hold this beam. Now, this particular Japanese guy, he was a master of torturing people. This guy really understood how to make people hurt. And Louis sat there and he did his best to hold it. Well, as I looked at that particular clip, it made me think about my Lord Jesus. So Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered and once made perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. So Jesus gave us the ultimate example of pain and suffering to comfort others for literally our salvation. Now, Louis was sitting there holding this thing up. And he was just holding. And he was holding all day long. And I thought about, man, how heavy the cross must have been for Jesus. For him to carry that thing through the city. We saw how battered and bruised he was. He dropped it on the ground, and my man had to help him with it. Man, Jesus did that for me. And then not to say, you know what? Because he's God. God, he could have said, okay, I'm done. This is enough. I can't take no more. He took it all the way to the end, to the point of giving up his spirit for us. So as we think about that, guys, I really want you to think about what's overwhelming you. What is this board? Because this thing is heavy, by the way. What is it that you won't lift up? What is it that you won't lift up like Louis lift his up at the end of the movie? Jesus lifted his cross all the way to death. Maybe it's something that you were able to overcome in the past. Think about that. Reflect on that. And remember, that was the God that got you through that back then. It's the same God that's going to get you through whatever you're struggling with right now. The movie finishes with Louis pressing it above his head, and they eventually the war is over. But his brother told him something before he got into all of this, that a moment of pain is worth a lifetime of glory. It's just a moment in the grand spectrum of God. Because we get to have eternal life with Jesus if we obey, if we submit. But Jesus had to learn through pain and suffering as well. And so it's exciting today that we have two sisters that have decided to be broken so that they can be unbroken. And as we reflect on Jesus and his cross and what he's getting ready to do for them, let's go to God in prayer so that we can be unbroken. Father in heaven, thank you so much, God, for who you are. God, you are absolutely amazing, Father. God, we know that pain and suffering is a part of our relationship with you, God, but I pray that our focus will change so that we can comfort others and we can help them with their salvation, Father. God, for them to have life with you forever. We are thankful for just the brothers and sisters that continue to labor with the heart to love you, God. Taking time out of their schedules to study the Bible with these two ladies today that are making the decision to make your son Lord, to putting on the church service, to planting churches. There's so many things, God, but Father, it starts with a relationship with you, God. It starts with us on our knees, prostrated before the cross, in our Bibles, knowing your heart. And I pray that each brother and sister may know you better. In your holy son's name I pray, amen.